Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. So today our topic is your behavior reflects your God, or your behavior reflects your belief. If we think about something that we believe strongly in, say, for example, a marriage is something that you believe strongly in, that you see the value, you see the beauty that the Lord has to offer in a marriage, and whether you are single or whether you are married or whether you are divorced, you are looking to that ideal and trying to find ways in which you can reach that ideal. If you believe something, you will put in your effort to try and achieve it, no matter the state of your life. If you believe in honesty, if you believed honesty was really important, then when you went to work every day, you would think about the 8 hours or so that your boss is paying for your time, and you would use that time to do the work that you have been asked to do. You wouldn't use that time to do your own things. You wouldn't use that time to surf the internet. You wouldn't take extended breaks. You wouldn't take extended lunches. You'd be honest. This is the time I'm being paid for, and I will do my work honestly and justly because that is what I'm being paid for, the honesty. So if we believe in honesty, we would live that honesty in the things that we did. But on the other side of life, there are the things that we do that are negative. We hurt other people, whether it is through words or whether it is through anger, whether it is through violence. We do harm to other people. And by doing harm to other people, what we're saying is we believe it is okay. It is okay to get angry, or it is okay to be violent. Our actions tell us that we think it's okay. People can say, well, because he does something that is violent, he thinks it's okay to be violent. Right? Our behavior reflects what we believe, even if it is negative. If we are manipulative in relationships or in wanting to get things for our own, we will manipulate people, we will lie, we will cheat, we will twist things so that we can get what we want. Okay, we are then saying to other people that we believe it's okay to manipulate. We believe it's okay to twist and to lie and to cheat a little bit to get what we want. What we are saying to other people is that I believe that I am more important than other people. What I want is more important than other people. So our behavior reflects what we believe. If we believe in something good and positive, then our behavior reflects that good and positive thing. If we believe that things are allowable, hurtful things are allowable, then our actions are hurtful, and we say to ourselves, those things are allowable. We have that situation, and I'm sure many of you can attest to it, whether it's yourselves or friends or family or other experiences that you've had, that you go to church and you know people who go to church on a Sunday, and your behavior is good on a Sunday. But then you go home and your behavior isn't as good as it should be. Or people you may know might go to church and do all the right things at church, but are manipulative or violent or other hurtful things in their life. And there's this disconnect between church and life. What we say we believe and what we actually live. And this is a problem that we as Christians and throughout other religions face. We say we believe, but yet our life does not reflect that belief. So can we actually say we believe? If we believe in good things, we will do good things. If we believe in hurtful things, if we believe in ourselves, if we believe in the world, then we will do hurtful things. And in our lives, we can see both. Okay, we are a mixture of both of those things in our life, both good and bad. And the Lord is asking us to take a look at the bad things, the bad behavior in our life, and how can we rectify that? Now, how do we get to this place? How do we as Christians get to the place where it's okay to say on a Sunday, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, but yet think it is okay to go out and be hurtful to other people? Okay, we all know of people, we all know within ourselves that this exists. How can we say we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, say He is our Savior, and yet do hurtful things? Part of the problem is we have a broken idea. We have a broken idea of who God is, and that is reflected in the brokenness of our life. If we have a broken idea of God, we feel a little lost in life. We perhaps don't quite know what our purpose is. We don't have clarity on what we are trying to achieve in life. But if we can bring God back together, and that's what we spoke about last week, bringing God back together. Turn out a little small, sorry. But if we can bring God back together in our lives and see Him as love and truth and action, or divine love, divine mean what's of God, divine love, divine truth, and divine action, that He is all three of these things, just as there are three aspects of our life, of our souls, and these bodies that we have been given, and the actions that we can do, so we are an image of God. If we can bring God back into one, if we can see Him in His fullness, if we can picture the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the tomb, seeing Him in human form, and seeing His soul is all love, His body is an image of all things true, and He is constantly working in this world, in our lives, in the whole of creation, in His action. That image is an image for us. Why did the Lord come to earth? One of the things was so that we could see Him as a human, that we could see that human form, that we could see the fullness of God in a human form and see the path for our lives, see the way for our lives. So how does seeing God influence how we live our lives? Let's take a step back. If our idea of God is broken, if we have separated God into the person of the Father and the person of the Son and the person of the Holy Spirit, what eventually happens and automatically happens is one of them becomes more important. And we've seen throughout the Christian history that what has become most important is the Son, the truth, the belief. So if you ask a Christian what's important, they will say to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that idea wrong? No, it's not wrong, but it's incomplete. It's not wrong, it's incomplete. Because if we're thinking of God as three separate things, we're putting one as more important. We're putting belief as more important, and the other things fade away. So love is not as important as belief, or our actions aren't as important as our belief. Now, when the Lord came to earth, He was talking to the Pharisees and calling them hypocrites because their actions were good, or their actions were right, but they didn't really know the truth, and they really didn't know what love was. Their idea of God was also broken. And as Christians, we've put the emphasis in a different place, and we've said, well, the truth is important, to believe is important, and the actions and the love, well, those will may perhaps come in time. But we need to put the Lord back together. We need to see that the Lord is one, and that we are, as an individual, one. And that within us, there needs to be those three aspects of life. That there needs to be, just as the Lord is loving, we need to be loving. Just as the Lord has the truth, so we need to search out the truth. And just as the Lord is constantly flowing into this world and creating and renewing life, so we need to be flowing outwards to other people. So our idea of God, if we can put it back together and see the fullness, it brings a fullness back into our lives. What is the purpose of our life if we're looking at the Lord? If we're turning to the Lord, the purpose of our life is to love. And how do we love? We love by knowing the truth first and then going out and doing it. Action. That is our purpose. That is your purpose. If you can understand our God as loving, as all truth, and as activity in this world, there you have your purpose. Your purpose in this world, in whatever capacity you are, in whatever stage of life you find yourself, that is the purpose of your life. To love who is ever around you, to constantly search for the truth, and to be active in life, engaging in the life of other people. So whether we think about our work environment, or we think about our home environment, or whether we think about out at the shops, anytime, our purpose is to do these three things: to love, to search for the truth, and to do good actions. We don't have to give up our jobs and go on a mission somewhere to preach the word to people in an unknown land. That's not the purpose that the Lord gives to each one of us. The Lord says, in your family, in your work, in your environment, these three things come together. Now, Mandela Day is coming up this week. And it's a 67 minutes of service, is what has been asked. Now we can look at this 67 minutes of service in a new way. We can see it as something that's fun that we do and be a part of something. Or we can bring a fullness. We can bring the Lord into these 67 minutes. And not just 67 minutes, but every minute of every day. I want to read to you from the scripture. You can follow along in your pew card. We start with the first one there from Matthew. Matthew 5. So the Lord says to us, whoever breaks the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom. But whoever does and teaches, now that's an interesting way around it. Those who do and teach will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? So the scribes and the Pharisees were all about actions, but there was no love in their actions. So don't just have actions. Don't just do something because you have to do it. Okay? That's the scribes and the Pharisees. Exceed that. The Lord asks us to exceed that. Go further than that. Do more than that. It's also interesting what he says, the do and then the teach. Just remember that. We'll come back to that. The next verse from Matthew 7, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down. Okay, the tree, we are the trees. The good fruit are the good actions, the good works that we do. Those who do not do good actions are cut down. So the Lord is saying us, we need to do good things. Okay? You'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So in the things that we do, there needs to be something that fills that. There needs to be more than just the actions. And we read the next one. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do what? The will of my Father who is in the heavens. So we know that we need to do good things, that there is a teaching aspect or a learning aspect about it, and that there is God's will. And what is God's will is to love other people. So when we look at all the scriptures and bring the verses together, we can see a fullness there of love, of truth, and of actions. All that need to be present when we are doing good things. You can't do good things by themselves. They don't stand alone. They've got to be filled. There's got to be a unity. Just as God is one, there needs to be a unity of those three things in us. So let's read the teachings for the new church from a little book called Life, the teachings or the doctrines of life. The very first paragraph in this book. Everyone who has any religion knows and acknowledges that people who lead a good life are saved. Who lead a good life are saved. And people who lead an evil life are damned. Okay, we don't expect murderers to go to heaven. But we expect those people who are out there in the community every day helping to uplift others, we expect them to go to heaven. That is, they know and acknowledge that if we lead a good life, we think good things, not only about God, but also about our neighbor, which is not the case if we lead an evil life. Right? So doing good is connected with thinking good about the Lord and about our neighbor. What we love constitutes our life. Okay? We do the things that we love. In a good way, we do the things and love people that in a positive way, but there are also loves in our life which are selfish and worldly, and we do things, go after the things of the world, do selfish things because of a selfish love. Right? So they're good loves and selfish loves, but whatever that love is, that's our life. That's what drives us. And whatever we love, we not only do freely, but also think freely. Right? So if we love someone, our thinking is about how to love that person, what can I do for them, what do they need. If my thoughts are, or my love is selfish, then all my thoughts are selfish. How can I manipulate people? How can I lie and cheat to get what I want? Right? So how we love, or what we love, dictates what we think. So we say that life is doing good things because doing good things is inseparable from thinking good things. If this doing and this thinking are not working together in us, they are not part of our life. We don't get joy out of something if we are forced to do it. So as we think about service this week, as we think about Mandela Day, and we think about serving other people, I want to ask you to make it more than just about the doing. If we think about the opportunities to serve here at church, whether you are on tea or help with Sunday school or on music or help set up the chancel, whichever way you help. It's not just about the action. It's not just about the service. I ask that you fill it. You fill it with what the Lord is asking for each one of us. If we think about serving, before you go out and serve, we should turn to the Lord. We should turn to the Lord, and if we've got this idea about the Lord of love, of truth, and of action, and we're thinking about our service, we can ask the Lord, Lord, how can I bring love by means of the true ideas that I already know of how to interact with people? How can I bring that love into this action? How can I bring love into my serving of tea? How can I bring my love into being an usher? How can I bring love into being a greeter? How can I bring my love into music? Turning to the Lord, remembering the fullness of Him, that He is love, truth, and actions, and that is an image for us of what He wants. And so service, an opportunity to serve, is not just about the action, it's an opportunity to bring the fullness of our life to play. Asking the Lord for His love in the things that we are doing. Yes, we may at first find it difficult to bring that love into it. Maybe we are a little bit stressed about serving in some way or a little uncomfortable. But as we turn to the Lord every time we serve and ask the Lord to bring His love into that action, so the Lord does that. Right? Whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. If we're asking the Lord for His heavenly gifts, He will give them. And so service is not just an opportunity to serve in worldly things. It's an opportunity to grow in spiritual things. So that the work that you do is not just physical or material or earthly service to other people, but becomes a spiritual service to other people. If we go back to that first reading in Matthew, it said, do and teach. Do and teach. If we think about interacting with other people, if we have asked the Lord for His love as we are doing something, then by that act, by that behavior, by our behavior, people will be able to see who our God is. What the verse says. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in the heavens. As we do the will of the Lord, we are teaching other people about Him. As we do, we are teaching other people. So do we want to teach people bad behaviors? Do we want to teach people about hell? Do we want to teach people about selfishness? Do we want to teach people about materialism through our behavior? Or do we want to teach people about heaven? Do we want to teach people about the Lord? Do we want to teach people about patience and respect? What is it that we are trying to teach people through our behavior? Our behavior reflects our God. Are we worshiping the one God of heaven and earth, or are we worshiping the gods of the world and of hell through our behavior? So this is the question for each one of us. This is the challenge for each one of us. Because like I said at the beginning, we are a mixture. Some aspects of our life we're able to give freely, and through that people can see God. But there are other aspects of our life where we still need to grow, where we still need to turn to the Lord. And in those times, turning to the Lord, remembering His fullness of love and truth in action. In those areas in our life where we still need to grow, turning to the Lord, turning to Him in prayer, and asking Him to bring those things into our life as we go and do. As we go and do, then the Lord can flow into us and bring joy not just to our life, but to those around us. Bring heaven not just to our life, but to bring heaven into this world, so that as in heaven, so upon the earth. And that's what the Lord asks for each one of us. As in heaven, so upon the earth. Can we play our part in bringing what is of heaven to earth? Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, You have called each one of us to go out into this world, to be Your hands and feet, to shine a light so that others may see Your good works. Lord, we ask that as we go out into our days, and as we do and face the things of this world, will You turn our minds to You, our hearts to You in prayer, that in everything that we do, we might think, how can I bring Your love, Your truth into the things that I do? How can I bring Your love and Your truth into my family life? How can I bring Your love and Your truth into the things of work? Lord, it is through actions that we find the fullness of life. It is through actions and interacting with people that we find the joy of life. Lord, we ask that You be with us, that You inspire us, that You give us the courage to go out and do what You have commanded, that others might see You through Your works. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.